Okay, so I hope everyone's enjoying this sultry November evening and the sail of this weather. It suits me to a T. We've had a very long winter this year. Seen that way. Every day was raining, cold, now beautiful. So, So I'm JR. From the monastery down the road, well, half an hour down Southwest Highway, if you want to come and visit. As Rachel said, usually with this group, we start out with just after we chanted that nice little sutta, have a short talk on meditation. We'll get into that. We'll have a nice guided meditation for half an hour, and afterwards I'll give a little talk. I don't know how long it's going to go for. A bit of improv there, I think, but I've got some ideas. And afterwards you can ask me questions, because that's always fun. That's great. So so we'll start out with just a few words on meditation. I guess some of you have never meditated before. Some have been meditating for many years. As Rachel said, I'm a monk, and especially at Bodhinyana Monastery, the focus is very much on the development of meditation. We all have our huts out in the forest, maybe 20 huts or so, 22 huts spread out about over 100 acres. So it's a very nice, peaceful place. The weather's nice now, but even when it's cold, it's nice and warm in the hut, so it's a good place for meditation, and it's kind of my job. I'm a professional meditator, so I'll try and put some of that into words this morning, this evening. Recently I've been thinking about something that someone said in the beginning when they founded Bodhinyana Monastery back in, what was it, 83, something like that. They sent two monks over. One didn't last very long and was replaced by Ajahn Brahm, but the abbot there for a long time was a guy called Ajahn Jagaro. And I'm sure if you follow up by having a look at, especially if you're new, having a look at the basic method of meditation by Ajahn Brahm, he talks about breath meditation and how you can take it through to the very deep state. But what they said Ajahn Jagaro was good at was teaching people how to get to the breath in the first place. And I thought that'd be a nice thing to talk about here. Essentially, before you can really spend time watching the breath going in and out for minutes, for hours, you really do need to do a bit of preparation. We talk about in the beginning, just learning to let go of the past and future, because a lot of what's going to distract you from the breath, and things will distract you from the breath. That's all. It's part of the part of the process. Is thoughts about things that happened a long time ago, things that happened earlier this day, even a few minutes ago, a few moments ago, and all of that we let go of. We let go of the planning mind, the need to worry about what's going to happen in the future. Maybe you're planning a holiday for the Christmas time and it's on your mind. You might be, looking for a job or trying to find a new spaghetti recipe or something. So, these are the sort of thoughts that will distract you in the beginning from developing enough mindfulness to stay in the present moment and beyond that to let go of the other kind of thoughts that pertain to what's happening in the present moment, your reaction to your experience of what you're doing when you sit here and try to meditate and it's difficult and you're not sure what you're doing, that sort of thing. And But eventually that all clears up and you develop this space. And it's a bit like, I find it's a bit like the clouds part, you know, when you first, sometimes you'll experience that, you know, just you'll be sitting there and then you may not have been able to actually be in the present moment, but then for a while, suddenly, you know, the mind's completely silent. It might only be for a few seconds, that sort of thing. And when we try and approach meditation as a series of steps, we might feel that we need to perfect one step before we go on to the next. And it's definitely a good idea to stick with the basics in the first place. But sometimes it surprises you. You might just be sitting there, and then suddenly you have this beautiful breath, like one really beautiful breath, just comes up and then goes away again, and you're back to square one. And this whole process of meditation is a lot like that. You'll it's like snakes and ladders, but that's pretty much how it is. It never goes according to plan. So when the breath does come up, and maybe it stays only for the space of one in breath, one out breath, you find that you just have to at that time just to say make the breath welcome. You know, you're welcome to come, welcome to go. So if it disappears again, that's fine. If the silence that you had for a few seconds disappears, that's fine. And if you're back to thinking about your spaghetti recipe, that's fine too. That's right. So just take it all in. Have some idea of the direction you want to go, and also to recognize when some of the landmarks that. Don't expect it to be like a some sort of game where you pass the first level and then you get on to the next. Anyway, I hope those words are a bit helpful. We'll do some guided meditation. My style of guided meditation is a bit different to most. I tend to improvise, and I tend to focus as well a lot on the qualities of mind that we develop. Not just what you watch, but also the patience, the acceptance of the difficulties we have. Just sitting in meditation, it's not even the difficulties of life, those sort of things we can maybe let go of a little bit. Patience, making peace. Cultivating peace as a quality of mind, developing the kindness, especially to yourself, because we can be a little bit harsh on ourselves sometimes. Us meditators, we're not good enough. Be gentle. Don't try and force any of it. Don't try and don't try to make stuff happen. What you want to do is to let things be and just watch. Watch on and see how things develop, see what works, and it's always good at the end of each meditation to just reflect on what sort of qualities you've cultivated over the period of, say, 30 minutes on an evening like today, or at home, 5 minutes on your cushion before you go to work, or in the evening after you've, I don't know, watched Game of Thrones or something, I don't know. I don't know what's on television these days. I know. I was a bit of a fantasy buff at one stage. It can be quite an adventure. I had a nice thought today as I was thinking about what I was going to talk about tonight. I'm not Ajahn Brahm. I don't have his depth of practice, and I'm sure you'll get to see him soon anyway. He's travelling around the world at the moment. He's hopscotching across Asia, I think, and making his way to England for a debate at Cambridge University. He's going up against Russell Brand, should be fun. You all know who Russell Brand is. I don't know who Russell Brand is. He's well known. So he's good. That should be fun. It should be on the net sometime, so I'll let you know. But while he's away, you know, us junior teachers come in and have a go. And I was just reflecting long ago to the early noughties. What was it, about 2003, when I was at work, and we had sort of company games on a Friday, and one of the games was a guided meditation. It's just a tape doing body sweeping meditation, and that was really interesting. And it was just, that was enough just that time to give me a bit of inspiration and give me a bit of interest in developing this practice of meditation, and this is where it's taken me. So I hope I can at least get one or two new people into the practice, because it is a lot of fun. You might not all be nuns or monks, but yeah, it's a nice way to it's just a nice thing to do. So there you go. Would you all like to do this meditation now? Great. So I think we'll everyone can get comfortable, dim the lights, and enjoy ourselves. I love the t-shirts as well. I'm so proud of Akalico for coming up with the wanting the slogan. Yeah. There's no fail in Armadale. That's great. Okay. So, please, everyone, get comfortable. We'll just sit here for a couple of minutes, and close your eyes.
Can you make sure they hear you at the back? They couldn't hear you last week.
Okay. Okay, so please just close your eyes and just sit and relax for a couple of minutes. And just try and give the body a bit of attention first. See if there's any tight clothing or itches you need to scratch. Okay to cough, okay to sneeze, those sort of things. Yeah, just make sure you're comfortable, first of all. Tonight we're just going to let go of all of our responsibilities. Your only responsibility tonight is to relax. what's come to mind now that you've settled down? It's quiet. Nice, comfortable temperature. Pretty much looked after. Whatever else arises, try just to let it be. You find your mind wants to think about this or that. Just have some kindness. Let it be. It'll settle. and relax. Nothing else to do. Feel the weight of your body as all your muscles relax. You sink down against your seat. Just feel that weight of relaxation. Try to enjoy yourself. Just doing nothing at all. and envy are one responsibility? Relax. Okay, we're coming to the end of the meditation. Take a minute or so just to review your state of mind. Was it easy to relax? Did you have difficulties? Try just to tune in and reflect on that. Okay, you can open your eyes if you want to, you don't have to. Great. So I encourage everyone to give yourself a pat on the back for putting in some time this evening. It does take practice. So before I go on to my talk, I'd just like to encourage people to. Especially if you're just starting out to we've got some books and CDs. If you find yourself at home and you want to do a bit of practice, there's lots of these guided meditations. You can get them from bswa.org as well. It's a really good way to start out. I hope that wasn't too confusing. I do just make this stuff up. But each monk's different, so if you come here repeatedly, I think you'll get a little bit from each of us. Okay, so I sort of started out by talking about the early stages of meditation, about developing enough mindfulness to be able to sit down and watch the breath for long periods of time. One of the booklets, I hope we have a few copies. Do we still have copies of the basic method up the back there? Yeah, shouldn't run out of them anytime soon. Yeah. I've got to drop off another bunch of them to the prison because they all disappear, which is good. Yep, they're at the back of the room, that's fine. But in there you'll find some of Ajahn Brahm's deeper teachings on Anapanasati, that's mindfulness of breathing. And he takes it through to these deep states, they're called the jhanas, what you'll read about as samadhi or deep states of mindfulness. And Ajahn Brahm had this great line. He said that how do you get to these deep states of meditation? He said, one moment of contentment after another. So I was thinking about giving a talk on contentment, and I thought about how I might bring it across. And then there was another thing that came up. Ajahn Brahm gave a talk. I tracked it back to something he gave in August 2001, and he had this great line. He was talking about the five hindrances, which are the kind of qualities of mind. We're talking about good qualities of mind. So these are the qualities of mind that might cause you to have difficulties in your meditation, or will cause you to have difficulties in your meditation. Ajahn Brahm was giving this talk back in 2001 about them. He got to the hindrance of restlessness, and he said that the cure for restlessness is contentment. And then he said, actually, contentment's the cure for all of the hindrances. So I thought I might give a talk on that tonight, the way of overcoming difficulties in meditation, progressing deeper. So often one of the biggest, probably the number one difficulty that we have is wanting something, whether it's in our daily life, going about our business, whether we want a better job or want a better spaghetti recipe, or we want the bus to be on time, but it never is. So this is a very obvious place where you can focus contentment, to say that this is good enough, you're happy with the way things are. And that goes through meditation as well, that wherever you're at, whatever you're experiencing in the moment, to just be content with that. And that'll take you deeper, take you to the deeper states of meditation. You'd be content with us young monks coming to teach you, because Ajahn Brahm's busy. But there's so many, there's just this infinite variety of things we can want, and they always come up in meditation. And I mean, just being able to let go of that and let it be can give you a huge amount of happiness, just to be okay with whatever's in front of you, whatever, the way you are. You don't need to tick items off your bucket list. You don't have to perfect yourself. You just have to be okay with the way it is. The other side of that coin is the second hindrance of ill will, of not wanting, anger, that sort of thing. And I kept this sheet here because we're chanting the Metta Sutta today, and often Metta is this quality. I'll just be very content with the voiceover. Yeah, so this Metta Sutta, so it's basically the original text is in Pali, but and you'll find it in many books, but Metta is one of those qualities that you can cultivate to overcome ill will, to anger, that sort of thing. And I love this line here. You know, what is the quality of Metta? You're contented and easily satisfied. So, yeah, you're just okay with things going wrong, with things not working. Your meditations, it wasn't as good as yesterday. Yesterday was really good. Just developing. Being satisfied with that, being satisfied with a long road to the cultivation of deep meditation, and the contentment with your friends, the people you work with. Just practicing that throughout the day is enough to clear up a lot of what goes on in the mind when you sit down and meditate. May have this sense of restlessness in the practice, or worry about what happened in the past, agitation, thinking is we want to get rid of our thoughts, right? So that's just more lack of contentment. So if you can sit there for 5 minutes or 30 minutes or however long, and just be completely okay for that whole period, just to let the mind think, and you find that it just winds down after a while. I gave a kind of simile a long time back, one of my first talks here I think, about the glass of muddy water. If you just put it down and leave it for long enough, the mud will settle to the bottom and you'll have a nice clear glass. You'll be able to see through it, you'll be able to drink it. Being able to practice that contentment with your own mind as it just slowly winds down from the activities of the day, because that's the large amount of what goes on in our meditation is what happened before we meditated. I find that a lot, especially my first sit of the day after lunch. Yeah, I've been maybe been working all morning, helping out with Ajahn Brahm, doing a bit of kind of secretary work. Nothing all that, nothing particularly complicated, but sorting out problems, and then you have the meal about 10:30, 11:30, go back to your hut, and it's time to meditate. And it always comes up, you always think about what's been going on, whether it's the latest tour group that's coming to the monastery, and who's going to give them a talk, and how we're going to get chairs up to the hall, and all that sort of thinking. You sit there and you're just content, you let it be, this is good enough, and it settles down, and you have this nice, peaceful mind. It can take, yeah, nice, quite content. Who's Rachel? Yeah, you just let it be, and it settles down, and you have a nice time. These worries of the past, things that happened that seem so important, things that are upcoming as well. I found, I always find coming here, you know, I was people who've been listening to my talks for a few years now. I think I gave my first talk in 2013, though I can't imagine I've given more than a dozen talks here. It must be less than that. But I've always suffered from anxiety, you know, coming down to give talks here, and I just realised that so much of our suffering comes from just anticipation, expecting bad things to happen in the future. So I took this as a bit of a practice for myself to rather than try and solve the problems of the future, just to let go of the anticipation that's in the mind right now in front of you, when you, whether you're sitting in meditation or just at any time, riding the bus, sitting in front of a computer at work, or whatever you do. I found that, you know, you either, basically, either whatever happens, whatever you anticipate happens, and you suffered twice. You suffered for the anticipation, you suffered for what actually happened. Well, nothing bad happened, and then you wasted your time. You suffered for no reason at all. If you can just be content with the present moment, the way it is, and yeah, you have a lot more, lot less difficulties in life. But that takes a lot of practice. And quite a common problem I had the other night. The sloth and torpor. It's sort of, I didn't start my meditation till 8:30, and you know, it's like 9:30, 10. I'm pretty tired. But just to sit there and just sit with the tiredness and go, oh, okay, I'm okay with this. It's okay. And that's more drops in the bucket, bucket of deep meditation. More grooves in your whatever tool you go about using. The Buddha talked about the ads. Now, ads is a really hard thing to describe. I don't think anyone... They do exist. If you go online, you can buy one. It's like a hammer, but instead of a head, it's got a chisel. So you chip away at things. And the Buddha said that, you know, the workman, he works away, just chipping away day after day. And he knows that the handle on this tool has been worn away. And you don't know whether it was yesterday or the day before. How much was worn away yesterday or the day before? But definitely, it's happened. There are these grooves, and that's like these qualities of mind that you want to let go of, to abandon. The will, the worry, the stress, that sort of thing. It's a very gradual process, and so you know, you sit there and it's late in the evening. Maybe you're working all day. I know you guys work a lot harder than I do. I've got my 4 mornings a week, plus the odd teaching assignment and that sort of thing. So, sometimes you come back, you might like to do a bit of meditation before bed, and you're sleepy, you're nodding. But you make peace with that. You're just content. You're content to be sleepy. So that's alright. It's okay to be sleepy. So that's the fourth hindrances. We've got 4 or 5 now. So we've got the wanting, the desire, the not wanting, the sort of ill will side of things, the restlessness, the tiredness, the last one is just the doubt that we have in our practice. You know, we might doubt that the Buddha knew what he was talking about. We might doubt that JR knows what he's talking about, which is I often do. And we often doubt ourselves in our own practice. You know, we doubt that we can sit for 15 minutes. I mean, oh, that's hard. That's hard work. But, yeah, but you can say, well, you know, okay, I don't know a lot about meditation, but what I know is enough to go on. I can have that contentment with what I know, what I understand now, where I'm at, where my practice is at, and just have a bit of faith that with practice, with patience, this will develop. You know, the stress will become less, our tendency towards difficult states of mind lessen, and we sort of see these landmarks of meditation where we can just sit there and watch the breath, and it's not that hard, and that gives us a bit of encouragement, and we get a bit more confidence, and we're happy. So that's my so good. Good 15 minutes on that. So well done, JR. I hope you're all content with that. So that that's sort of that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. So, no worries. And we've got a few minutes. We've got a bit of time now. So it's always good to do a bit of Q&A. It's very easy for me, I find. I can just ramble on and answer a few questions. It's not very easy to actually come up with a talk, even if you've got weeks and weeks to prepare. We do tend to improvise in this tradition, and that's what I've done tonight. So,
you don't have to, though.
No, I know, but it's a good,
you don't have to.
It's a good skill to cultivate. It is a good
very
skill.
Very hard skill.
Yeah. But I think I did well tonight.
You did.
So, do you have any questions about the practice or about life as a monk or anything like that? Don't have any spaghetti recipes. Well, I do actually. I used to make carbonara. That was my bachelor recipe. Fettuccine carbonara.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rachel.
Maybe you could talk a little. I don't know if you don't mind about the fact you said about your anxiety, about how you managed your anxiety, or how meditation can help us to manage anxiety. That'd
be
great.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm always happy to talk about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So,
opposite of contentment.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah. So maybe you've already answered the question.
No, let's see. I mean, there are a lot of practical things you can do. I mean, I knew I was going to have to come here and sit in front of a reasonable crowd of people. We've got 60 people here. It's not Nolamara. Nolamara would be a little bit well, yeah, plus you know, the thousands online and that. But no, here, I mean, it's so what did I do? I did say I don't work nearly as hard as a lot of you guys. I have a 3-day weekend each week, I had got lots of rest. I let myself have a little bit of a sleep in, so I wasn't too tired. And this morning I had my work to do, so I just made sure, you know, throughout the day, just to conserve a bit of energy, just to relax when I'm at work, and just to remind myself that, to have that mindfulness throughout the day, to just tell myself, you know, you're starting to get, those physical signs where you're hunched over the keyboard, so just relax, and when I, after lunch, just spend a bit of time stretching, always do that each day, just look after my back, because it's usually usually the back or the knees that go with us, with meditators. So, mm-hmm. And if you're in the office as well, just do a bit of stretching and just to spend some time meditating, but not trying to get rid of anything or trying to just sitting there, let it be. I read a little bit of my book, which was quite interesting, and then I spent a bit of time just before I was about to go. I spent some time just lying on my mattress, no pillow or anything, just relaxing. And by the time it was time to go and hop in the car and drive up here from the monastery, I was in a pretty good state. Yeah, I was relaxed and plenty of energy there, and it was good. I really enjoyed tonight. It does get easier over time. So that's it, I guess. I think a lot of it just comes down to just recognising the signs and having some sort of way to just to back off a bit throughout the day, and not just 5 minutes before it's time to give a talk. Yeah, and of course the meditation helps. I do find the more time I spend meditating, the less anxiety I have. It's just been a very long process. There you go. But there's all sorts of things you can try. I mean, different people are different, and I wonder about the introvert extrovert thing too. Because myself, when I get anxious, I want to be alone. My sister, she's the extrovert. When she's anxious, she wants to be around people, which is very, very strange. It's almost...
it's normal.
Yeah. If you don't have someone around to chat to sometimes, you know, that can be a cause for anxiety. But for me, I mean, I just love being in my hut. I can spend all day in my hut if I... to a point, anyway. It's good to do... Good to go out and do a bit of service as well. My main service these days is looking after Ajahn Brahm, but we all have different things. Meditation, I think, is always going to help. Always going to help.
Very stupid question.
Go. There are no stupid questions.
No, no, well, it is. I suffer from anxiety a lot, and you mentioned you had anxiety. Did you have more anxiety in your proper life? Well, not proper life, but in working life? Is it different for you now? Has it calmed your mind, or is it just always there?
That's a good question.
I don't know, phrased it the best, but...
No, it's good. It's good. It's a good question. It's,
you might have 60 monks and nuns by the end of it if you're saying life's easier.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't got room.
I mean, okay, so, I've spoken about it before. I mean, I've long been diagnosed with schizophrenia. So for me, anxiety is... I take medication, so in terms of psychosis, that sort of thing, I don't really have any problems. But there has... been this residual anxiety that's not necessarily covered by the medication I take. So I had a psychotic episode when I first turned up at the monastery. So I was just going hardcore. A lot of people do. A lot of monks lay people get there and they want to meditate like the forest masters of Thailand, and it all gets a bit full on, and you have to be a bit careful and keep an eye on people, because So I started out with this situation, and I found that. So this was 2006. I found that at that point I had a lot of anxiety, and since then, so 2006 through to end of 2017, over the time that has become less and less of a problem. It's great, and at the same time I've been able to come out and. Be a lot more productive as well. I can look after, whether it's just the secretary work or going out and teaching or various things. I'm in a much better place now, but much better place mentally and certainly physically. I've lost a lot of weight, but no, that's the there's definitely been that very gradual, like I said, the simile of the ads, that gradual wearing away at these, whatever quality of mind causes this problem. It's not going to be the same for everyone. Some people suffer from depression. Never really had much of a problem with that. Some people, there's just... Some people are really angry, and they're like, well, I don't really want to be angry. I'd like to overcome that. I think the practice is good for all those sorts of things. Any state of mind that you causes you to suffer, I think, is something you can tackle with meditation. And that's why there are so many different kinds, so many different types of meditation. And a good teacher will usually prescribe one or more of these for whatever you need to deal with in your daily life. There you go. but I think, I see a lot of people with, in various situations, a lot of people with anxiety. I mean, it's such a common thing these days. Maybe it always was, but it's certainly talked about a lot more. And just to have a bit of space. Like I said, I'm an introvert, so for me it's good to have. I think in any workplace it's good to have a bit of space for people to go and have some quiet time. I know, offices don't always accommodate that. Being able to just go out and you become more productive. You can just have a rest your brain for a while. Especially if you're in a sort of intellectual pursuit like I was. I was a programmer before I decided to go out and become a monk. So, certainly good. I found working at, just before I came to the monastery, I was working at Motorola. And I was, this is down near UWA, and I'd often, I was being paid by the hour. I probably should have charged for this, but often I'd sign off and I'd go out and just go for a walk through the grounds of UWA, which is quite nice, all the big sandstone buildings and parks and stuff, people playing cricket, and then down to the river and just go for a wander down there, have a cup of coffee or something, and I'd come back to the monastery, back to Motorola, and my mind would be much more clear. I'd usually come up with some really good ideas. So I do think I should have charged for that time. Charged for those hours I was walking along the Swan. That was a really nice time for me. This is before I had my psychotic episode, but when I was getting into the meditation, I was actually at Motorola purely just to pay off my debt so I could come and join the monastery. It's nice. Good. That's my thoughts on the workplace. Having these spaces, whether it's a place to go for a walk or a place to just sit and be alone for a little while and have some quiet time.
It's important. What's a Motorola?
Motorola? They're a company that makes mobile phones. I wasn't actually working on mobile phones. I was working on some information systems for the police. At that time, that part of it was like a digital radio system, which was what Motorola was selling them. But there was also it also gave the ability. This is back in 2005. So this is the first time they actually had like screens in their car where they could look up a number plate or a gun license or all that sort of stuff. So it all fed back through the radio system. So I worked on that as a programmer. That was a bit of fun.
Amazing what you learn here.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. You too can become a computer scientist. Why not?
Just curiosity wise, excuse me if this is an annoying question.
Good.
I've been coming here for a few years now, and sometimes I think I've seen the same monk as I've seen before. Why is it that you shaved your head?
Why do we shave our head?
Shaves on the
head. Oh, look, it saves so much time. Okay. You mistake one for the other. Fair enough.
They all got shaved.
I think I do sometimes. Yeah, we do have a uniform appearance. We wear the same robes. We more or less the same robes, some slightly different colour. We all shave our heads. In our tradition, we shave our eyebrows as well. There's a story behind that. Do you want to hear the story about the eyebrows? Okay. The eyebrows. Okay. So a couple hundred years ago, around about then, the Thais and the Burmese were at war. Right? So, and the trouble was that the Thais thought the Burmese monks were coming to infiltrate Thailand. So they told all the Thai monks to shave their eyebrows so that they'd stand out. I don't know why the Burmese monks couldn't shave their eyebrows. But anyway, a couple hundred years later, and I have to shave my eyebrows. Oh well, that's tradition for you. But yes, we'll shave pretty much on the same day as well. Usually the day before the meeting of the full moon and or the new moon. And yeah, why we do that is a very good question. Yeah, I suppose this part of it is probably vanity. Mm. Part of it's probably simplicity. You know, I can take care of my own hair. I've got my own razor. I don't have to go out to the shop, and I don't have to decide whether to cut it long or short or spiky or whatever the new. Or what's that thing with the wave over the top? That's weird. People just started doing that. In the they start shaving the sides of their heads and. So I don't have to think about that at all. The clothes. I mean, this robe. I think I've had for 3 years. I haven't had to buy any clothing in that time. So. It's frugal. We don't have to spend a lot of money on looking good. We don't wear jewellery. We don't wear makeup or anything like that. Well, for the monks, monks don't have to worry about that. But the nuns don't wear any makeup or jewellery or anything like that. Earrings or anything. I've got a pretty simple pair of flip flops. I guess that's it. So I think at the end of the day, a lot of it comes down to simplicity. We eat pretty much one meal a day. We might have a light breakfast on a work day, but again, you know, that's the idea is that you get enough food, and it is good food. You come along to the monastery, we all eat well, but it's all over. We all eat out of a bowl. We carry our bowl around with us, and after meal we wash up, and then we're done. That's it. We don't have to worry about cooking or cleaning for the rest of the day. So a lot of it comes down to simplicity, I think. Oh, there we go. One more. We've got two. Yep. Yeah, I think what you're talking about is mindfulness. And that's again just that present moment, you know, being aware of what you're doing. That is the I've got to get this right. The seventh factor of the Eightfold Path, right? So the Eightfold Path. You're welcome to. I've got a lot of information on it.
In the library.
Yeah, it's more of a doctrinal thing, so I don't go into too much detail here. It's more of a meditation group. But essentially, the Eightfold Path is broken up into these concepts of sort of ethics and morality, which feeds into the meditation, supports meditation. The meditation supports the wisdom, the insight, that sort of thing. That's in a very brief way is the Eightfold Path, yeah. And it's sort of the way between indulgence and sort of hurting ourselves, shy from it, both sides, cool. Okay, that's wonderful. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well done. Thank you very much.